Legend of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools. With Roger Rees as Sherlock Holmes, Crawford Logan as Dr. John Watson, and Matt Zimmerman as Sir Henry Baskerville. The Hound of the Baskervilles. Part 1. The Baskerville Curse.
To James Mortimer, MRCS.
Member of the Royal College of Surgeons.
He's a doctor.
Brilliant, Watson.
Really, Holmes, do I interrupt you on these occasions?
1,000 apologies, my dear fellow. Pray continue.
I was about to say that I think he's a doctor of the old school. His practice is probably in the country, and he does most of his visiting on foot.
Good. Excellent.
This is just the sort of old-fashioned walking stick that a successful elderly man would use, but it's far too knocked about for any self-respecting town doctor to carry.
Perfectly sound.
Now, this inscription. To James Mortimer, MRCS, from his friends of the CCH. I'd say that the CCH is the something or other Hunt, the local Hunt. He's a sporting man.
Really, Watson? You excel yourself.
Thank you, Holmes.
I'm bound to say that in all your accounts of our cases together, you have habitually underrated your own ability.
Ah, it's you the public want to read about. I'm just there for contrast.
Well, I don't doubt you know best. May I have the stick?
Here.
Thank you. Interesting. Though,
Elementary.
Elementary.
Has anything escaped me?
I'm afraid your grave old family practitioner vanishes into thin air. The gentleman we missed last night is a young fellow. Under 30.
Oh,
amiable, unambitious, absent-minded, and the possessor of a favorite dog. Larger than a terrier and smaller than a mastiff.
Under 30.
So the stick tells me.
Well, let's see what my medical directory tells me. Mortimer. James, MRCS, age 29.
Formerly of Charing Cross Hospital.
1882 to 1884, house surgeon at Charing Cross Hospital.
From his friends of the CCH. Much more likely than a Hunt for a presentation to a doctor.
How did you deduce the age?
No established staff member would leave a London hospital for the obscurity of the country. So the probability was that he was only in a junior post. What else does your excellent volume tell us?
There was a list of his publications, various prizes. Presently, medical officer for the parishes of Grimpen and High Barrow, Dartmoor.
So, you were quite right about the country practice.
Hmm.
As to the rest, it's my experience that it's only an amiable man in this world who receives testimonials. Only an unambitious one who abandons a London career for the country. And only an absent-minded one who leaves his stick and not his visiting card.
Oh! And the dog?
Catch! Look at the middle.
Teeth marks.
The dog sometimes carries the stick behind his master. The marks are too broad for a terrier and not broad enough for a mastiff. It may have been... Yes, by Jove, it is a curly-haired spaniel.
Oh, really, Holmes? How can you possibly be so sure?
For the simple reason that I see the dog himself on our doorstep. And there is the ring of its owner. Now is the dramatic moment of fate, Watson. A step on the stair. A client walking into our lives. Will it be for good or ill? What does Dr. James Mortimer, the man of science, ask of Sherlock Holmes, the specialist in crime? Come in! Dr. Mortimer.
Ah, you have it. I'm so very glad. I wouldn't lose that stick for the world.
A presentation, I see. From Charing Cross Hospital.
Ah, that's correct, Mr. Holmes. I presume it is Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, indeed. And this is my friend, Dr. Watson.
Doctor, you interest me very much, Mr. Holmes. I hardly expected so dolichocephalic a skull or such a well-marked supraorbital development.
Long face, high forehead.
Mm. Would you have any objection to my running my finger along your parietal fissure? It is not my intention to be fulsome, sir, but I confess that I would dearly love to have your skull for my collection.
please sit down, Dr. Mortimer.
Thank you.
You are clearly an enthusiast in your line of thought, as I am in mine.
Oh.
I observe from your right forefinger that you make your own cigarettes.
Oh.
Have no hesitation in lighting one.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, I presume that it was not merely for the purpose of examining my skull that you have done us the honor to call here last night and again today.
No, sir, no. I have in my pocket a manuscript.
I observed it as you entered the room. I would put it at 1730.
Oh, I can see that Dr. Watson doesn't exaggerate your abilities. The exact date is 1742. It was committed to my care by the late Sir Charles Baskerville of Baskerville Hall, Dartmoor. I was his friend as well as his doctor.
I trust that you wish to consult me about events rather more recent than the middle of the last century.
Oh, I assure you that Sir Charles's manuscript is intimately connected with my present problem. He took this document very seriously. I might almost say he was obsessed with it. With your permission, I will read it to you.
Oh. Well, if you must.
Please do, Dr. Mortimer. We're listening.
Of the origin of the Hound of the Baskervilles, there have been many statements, yet I set it down with all belief that it occurred even as is here set forth.
Oh.
In the time of the Great Rebellion of 1641, the manor of Baskerville in the county of Devonshire was held by Hugo, of that name, a most wild, profane, and godless man. One Michaelmas, this Hugo stole down upon a local farm and carried off a young maiden to Baskerville Hall.
This way, wench!
Get your dirty hands off!
Quiet, the lot of you! Open that door!
What are you going to do with me?
Nothing, till you've learned some respect for your betters. Get in there!
Oh!
I'll be back for you later.
In the stress of her fear, the poor maiden climbed down from the window of the chamber and ran homeward through the black night across the great Dartmoor. When Sir Hugo discovered the cage empty and the bird escaped, he became as one that hath a devil.
Release the hounds!
No! Let the lass go!
Do as I say! By God, I'll run her down like the animal she is! May the hounds of hell take me if I can't! Is any of you man enough to come with me? You bunch of women! On, boys!
For some space, the revelers stood agape. But at length, some sense came to their crazed minds, and the whole of them, 13 in number, took horse and started in pursuit. They came at length to a broad space, ringed round with great stones, set there in days of old. In the center lay the unhappy maid, dead of fear and fatigue. But it was not the sight of her body, nor that of Sir Hugo lying near her, which raised the hair upon their heads. There stood a foul thing, a great black beast, shaped like a hound, yet larger than any hound that ever mortal eye has rested upon. Even as they looked, the thing tore the throat out of Hugo Baskerville. Then it turned its blazing eyes and dripping jaws upon them. One man died that very night of what he had seen, and the others were but broken men for the rest of their days. Such is the tale of the coming of the hound, which is said to have plagued the family so sorely ever since, always appearing to herald the death of a Baskerville. Take heed, and remember always this. Forbear from crossing the moor in those dark hours when the powers of evil are exalted.
Well,
do you find it interesting?
To a collector of fairy tales.
Then I'll offer you something a little more recent. This is from the Devon County Chronicle of June the 14th this year. It's the report of the inquest on Sir Charles Baskerville's death.
The verdict was natural causes, as I remember.
That's correct, Doctor. He'd suffered for years from weakness of the heart, changes of colour, depression.
And breathlessness?
Yes.
If you two have quite finished your consultation, perhaps you'll be kind enough to continue.
Sir Charles liked to take a walk each evening in the yew alley in the grounds of Baskerville Hall. On the night of the 4th of June, he went out as usual, but didn't return. Barrymore, the butler, eventually found his body at the far end of the alley. This article contains all the public facts.
Then pray let me have the private ones.
I withheld this information from the coroner's inquiry.
Oh?
But Sir Charles was a well-loved man and a great local benefactor, and it's vital that his heir should take up residence and continue the good work. I had no wish to increase the hall's already grim reputation, so I told rather less than I knew. On the night of the tragedy, Barrymore sent Perkins, the groom, to fetch me, and I reached the hall within the hour. The night had been wet, and I easily followed Sir Charles' footsteps along the alley. Halfway down, there's a gate that leads out onto the open moor. He had stood there for some 5 or 10 minutes.
How do you know this?
Because the ash had twice dropped from his cigar.
Excellent.
When he moved on, there was a curious change in his footprints. He appeared to be walking on tiptoe.
His toes? Why on earth should he do such a thing?
I've no idea.
How was the body lying?
Face down, arms out, fingers dug into the ground. But his face, the features were hideously distorted, almost unrecognizable.
Well, that's not unusual in deaths from exhaustion of the heart.
But not like that.
Dr. Mortimer, all these facts were stated at the inquest.
But this wasn't. Barrymore was asked if there were any traces on the ground around the body.
He said no.
He didn't observe any, but I did, some little distance off, yet still fresh and clear.
Footprints?
Footprints.
A man's or a woman's?
Mr. Holmes, they were the footprints of a gigantic hound.
You saw this?
As clearly as I see you.
And you said nothing?
What was the use?
Are there sheepdogs on the moor?
This was no sheepdog. It was enormous.
Had it approached the body?
No.
Was the gate to the moor closed?
And padlocked.
How high is it?
About 4 feet.
What marks did you see by the gate?
None in particular.
If only I'd been there! That path on which I might have read so much has long since been smudged by rain and defaced by the clogs of curious peasants. Why didn't you call me in?
I didn't want to make this public knowledge. I've explained my reasons. And besides...
Well?
There is a realm in which the most acute and experienced of detectives is helpless.
You mean the thing is supernatural?
Shortly before Sir Charles's death, several people had seen... curious creature upon the moor. They all agree that it was huge and luminous, exactly corresponding to the hellhound of the legend. But there's a reign of terror in the district. It's a brave man who will cross the moor at night.
If this matter is beyond nature, it's certainly beyond me. If you hold these views, why have you come to consult me at all?
Because I want you to advise me as to what I should do with Sir Henry Baskerville, who arrives at Waterloo in exactly 1 hour and a quarter.
Is he the heir?
The sole heir. Sir Charles's nephew. There are no other living relatives. He's a young man who spent most of his life farming in Canada. Now, Mr. Holmes, what is your recommendation?
Stop here!
Here, Governor. Well, I'll take you right inside the station.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
Dr. Watson? Can I have a word with you, please?
Good evening, Mrs. Hudson. Oh, dear. What's he done now?
Oh, it's the usual thing. It's the smell, Doctor. It gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be so bad if he'd only open a window. It can't be good for him.
All right, Mrs. Hudson. I'll deal with it. Oh, Mrs. Hudson, the gentleman who called today will be coming back
tomorrow morning and bringing Sir Henry Baskerville with him. 10 o'clock.
I suppose that means I'll have to have that dog in my kitchen again. If it's not one smell, it's another.
I'll see what I can do.
Holmes? Good. Oh.
Caught a cold, Watson?
Cold? It's this poisonous atmosphere. What the devil is it you put in that pipe?
You've been at your club all day, I perceive.
Please, Holmes.
I suppose it is pretty sick, now you come to mention it.
Sick? It's intolerable. Mrs. Hudson is about to throw us out.
Oh.
I do wish you'd find some other aid to concentration.
If you're quite done trying to reform me, Doctor, come and have a look at this. There.
Baskerville Hall. It's very isolated.
Apart from the prison, there are only a few scattered houses within a radius of 5 miles. Most of them are here in the hamlet of Grimpen, where our cranially obsessed friend, Dr. Mortimer, has his headquarters. The excellent Devon County Chronicle provides a useful list of local residents. Mortimer apart, the only men of education seem to be Arthur Frankland, retired, and Jonathan Stapleton, the noted naturalist.
It must be a wild and lonely place.
Yes, the setting is a worthy one. If the devil did desire to have a hand in the affairs of men...
Oh, surely you're not going over to the supernaturalist, too?
The devil's agents may be flesh and blood, may they not?
Do you think Mortimer will do as you asked and not mention this hellhound nonsense to Sir Henry?
I believe so. He seems extremely anxious to establish the young man in Devonshire.
You suspect some hidden motive?
Uh-huh.
Have you turned the case over in your mind?
Yes.
What do you make of it?
The footprints. Mortimer said that Sir Charles walked on tiptoe half the length of the alley.
Ah, why should the man tiptoe?
He was running.
He was running! He was running for his life! Ah!
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Sir Henry.
And Dr. John H. Watson.
Good morning.
I'm glad to meet you, sir. It's a strange thing, Mr. Holmes, but if my friend here hadn't proposed coming round to you this morning, I'd have come on my own.
Fascinating. Pray, take a seat, Sir Henry. Dr. Mortimer.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Yes, sir. I've had a puzzle this morning which wants more thinking out than I'm able to give it. Look at this letter, if you call it a letter.
Sir Henry Baskerville, Northumberland Hotel, printed in capitals and a deliberately rough hand, postmarked Charing Cross yesterday evening. Who knew that you were going to the Northumberland?
No one. We only decided after I met Dr. Mortimer.
Someone seems to be very deeply interested in your movement. As you value your life or your reason, keep away from the moor. Watson?
Words cut out of a newspaper. And anonymous, of course.
The newspaper was the Times.
How in the world do you know that?
I presume, Doctor, that you could tell the difference between the skull of a Negro and that of an Eskimo.
Oh, of course. The differences are obvious.
As with skulls, so with newspapers. The differences are equally obvious. Now, I confess that once when I was very young, I confused the Leeds Mercury with the Western Morning News, but a Times leader is entirely distinctive, and these words could have come from nothing else.
Well, if that isn't smart.
Identifying the paper is a valuable clue to the sender.
He was an educated man who wished to pose as an uneducated one. The address is written with a poor quality nib, probably in an hotel, and the sender worked fast, possibly in fear of interruption. It may well be somebody known to you, or whom you will shortly come to know.
How can you possibly say that?
Why else disguise his writing? The paper is cheap and plain and carries no watermark. Hello? What's this?
Well?
Nothing. I think we've drawn as much as we can from this curious communication.
Incredible.
Commonplace. But now, Sir Henry,
Has anything else of interest happened to you since you've been in London?
Why, no.
You've not noticed anyone following you or watching you?
I seem to have walked right into the thick of a dime novel. Why should they?
We're coming to that. You're sure you have nothing else to report?
Well, it depends what you think worth reporting.
Anything out of the ordinary routine of life?
Well, I don't know much about British life yet, but I hope that to lose one of your boots isn't routine over here.
Ah, you've lost one of your boots.
Brand new, too. Never been worn. I put the pair outside my door last night for cleaning, and there was only one in the morning. Ridiculous.
It's just mislaid. You'll find it as soon as we get back to the hotel.
Well, I hope you're right. And now, it's high time you kept your promise and gave me a full account of exactly what we're all driving at.
Stop here, old cabby!
That'll be 1 shilling and 3 pence to you, sir.
I'm not getting out. We'll stay here.
But you just want to wait here, you mean? But what's so fascinating about the middle of... Baker Street.
Well, I seem to have come into an inheritance with a vengeance.
Precisely. And now we have to decide whether it's advisable for you to go to Baskerville Hall.
Not go? Why shouldn't I go?
Well, there seems to be danger.
Do you mean danger from this family fiend or from human beings?
That's what we have to find out.
Whichever it is, my decision is fixed. There is no devil in hell, sir, and there's no man upon earth who can prevent me from going to the home of my own people. And you may take that to be my final answer.
Excellent. Well said, Sir Henry.
Meanwhile, why don't you and Dr. Watson here come round to my hotel and lunch with us, say, at 2. I'll be able to tell you more clearly then how this whole thing strikes me.
Is that convenient to you, Watson?
Perfectly.
Then, thank you. You may expect us. Watson, shall I have a cab called?
I think I'd prefer to walk. Mortimer?
I'll join you with pleasure.
Then we'll meet again at 2 o'clock. Au revoir.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
Well,
he certainly seems to have inherited the Baskerville spirit.
Quiet, Watson.
What? Your hat and boots, Watson. Quick. Not a moment to lose. There.
The hansom, you mean?
It's been dogging their footsteps as diligently as we have, though rather less subtly. They're moving on again.
So is the cab. You're right, Holmes.
Whoever's in that hansom has been shadowing Sir Henry since yesterday morning.
Can we risk trying to get a glimpse of him?
Or her? Come on, Watson. Let's see if we can draw level without attracting undue attention.
Right.
Careful. He's seen us.
Come on!
Head up there!
Damn! Bad luck and bad management, too. Did you see him?
Oh, just a glimpse. Stocky man with a black beard. What a pity we didn't get the number of the cab.
Do you seriously imagine that I neglected that? 2704 is our man.
Then at least we can talk to the cabbie. We've got something.
Villains. Thieves. I've a good mind to pack myself up and move straight round to the Savoy.
My dear Sir Henry, whatever is it?
Ah, gentlemen. It seems to me they're playing me for a sucker in this hotel. But they'll find they've started into monkey with the wrong man.
Still looking for your brand new boot?
No, sir, for one of my favorite old ones.
What? You should have don't mean to say that.
Oh, yes, I do mean to say. Yesterday, a new boot. Today, an old one. What the devil's going to disappear next? Oh, excuse me. It's hardly a matter to trouble you gentlemen with.
I think it's well worth troubling about. But here is Dr. Mortimer, and lunch awaits. And then Watson can entertain you with the adventure of the informative cabby. After you, Sir Henry.
It was the purest luck. We marched into the cab office to ask about 2704, and there the man was, coming off his shift. John Clayton, rough-looking sort of chap, Irish.
And the fellow said, I've driven my cab this 7 years and not a word of complaint. He seemed to think I was anxious to have him dismissed.
He changed his tune when we offered him half a sovereign, though.
Well, I've had a good day and no mistake.
And Holmes said, no, my good fellow.
Oh.
But tell me all about the fare. He followed the two gentlemen down Regent Street this morning.
Well, sir, he told me he was a detective.
A detective?
That's right, sir, and I heard of him, too. His name was...
Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
The cunning rascal.
Are you sure he was following us?
Quite sure. Dr. Mortimer, have you amongst your neighbors or acquaintances on Dartmoor any man with a full black beard?
Oh, why, yes, Barrymore, Sir Charles's butler, has just such a beard.
Clayton described his fare as perhaps 40 year of age or more, middle height and dressed like a toff.
Well, that's rather vague. I suppose it could be him.
Where is Barrymore at the moment?
He's in charge of the hall.
We must find out if he really is there.
How can you do that?
By sending a telegram, care of the local office, to be delivered into his hands only. Is all ready for Sir Henry? Please reply at once, or some such. That should let us know by this evening if he's at his post or not. Did Barrymore profit at all by Sir Charles's will?
He and his wife had £500 each.
Did they know about that in advance?
Yes, Sir Charles was fond of talking about his will.
That's very interesting.
I hope that you don't look with suspicious eyes on everyone who received a legacy, for Sir Charles also left £1,000 to me.
Indeed. And anyone else?
Well, apart from some small sums to various charities, the residue all went to Sir Henry.
How much was the residue of it, if you don't mind my asking?
No, not at all. £740,000.
Dear me. It's a stake for which a man might well play a desperate game. Sir Henry, what are your intentions?
To go to Baskerville Hall at the end of the week.
Good. But you must certainly not go alone.
Dr. Mortimer returns with me.
But he has his practice to attend to, and his house is miles from yours. No, you must take with you a trusty man who will always be by your side.
You really think I'm in some kind of danger?
Yes, I do.
Well, then, could you come yourself, Mr. Holmes?
At the present, it is impossible. One of the most revered names in England is being besmirched by a blackmailer, and only I can stop a disastrous scandal.
Well, then who would you recommend?
If my friend Watson here would undertake it, there's no man who's better worth having by your side when you're in a tight place. Doctor?
Why, certainly. Why, now, that's real kind of you, Dr. Watson. Real kind.
Holmes?
Yes, my dear fellow.
There are too many mysteries here for my taste. Too many unconnected little mysteries. Letters, boots, shadowy strangers. It's untidy. I don't like it.
Unpromising material for your loyal readers, eh, Watson? I'm afraid you're right. But believe me, this business is far deeper and darker than it seems. This evening should see us better informed.
Oh!
Holmes?
Listen to this.
I've just heard that Barrymore definitely at the hall, Mortimer.
Damn! Could you swear to that man's face within the cab?
All I really saw was the beard.
And I, so in all probability, it was a false one. I've been checkmated in London. I can only wish you better luck in Devonshire. But I'm not easy in my mind about it.
About what?
About sending you.
Oh. It's an ugly business, Watson. An ugly, dangerous business. And the more I see of it, the less I like it. I give you my word that I shall be very glad to have you back safe and sound in Baker Street once more.
I'll send back regular reports. Information on the neighbours and the staff and the district.
And anything new on Sir Charles's death?
Yes.
And please do your best to curb your novelist's romanticism. That can wait until after we've achieved a happy ending. Facts.
Facts.
Thank you. Are you armed?
Yes, I thought it best.
Good. Never relax your precautions. Ah, the curly-haired spaniel and his companions. Good morning, Sir Henry. Doctor?
Morning. Gentlemen.
Morning.
Good of you to come and see us off, Mr. Holmes.
Were you followed to the station?
Oh, no, sir.
Your bearded friend, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, seems to have given up the chase.
I beg you to take this matter more seriously.
Very well.
And remember, you must not go about alone. There may be great danger.
I'll remember.
Above all else, recall the words of the legend. Keep away from the moor in the hours of darkness, when the powers of evil are exalted.
Friend Sir Henry here has the typical rounded skull shape of the Celt, which carries inside it the Celtic enthusiasm. Poor Sir Charles's skull's a very different type, half Gaelic, half Ivernian. Well, that's very rare.
Well, yes, I imagine it is.
Oh, he doesn't like the train, do you, boy?
Yeah. Poor old chap. What's his name, Mortimer?
Yorick.
Poor old Yorick. Hmm?
Easy boy.
Watson.
Yes, Andy.
What do you make of all this business? Am I really going into danger?
Holmes thinks so.
I want to know what you think. Is the family fiend going to get me?
I've no time for ghost stories.
Sir Charles took the matter very seriously.
But something is going on. You were followed in London.
I saw no one.
And that letter?
As you value your life or your reason, keep away from the moor.
I think that there is some danger waiting for you. And whatever I can do to see you through it, I shall.
Well, Doctor, you're my first bodyguard as well as my first house guest. Baskerville Hall. I can't wait to see it. That and the moor.
Well, your wish is easily granted. We're coming up to the edge of the moor now. There's your first sight of it.
My God. It's fantastic. It's in your blood. The Baskervilles have held sway here for centuries.
Ooh, you're coming home.
Nothing's going to take this away from me. Nothing and nobody.
Stop! Stay exactly where you are. Make no sudden moves. Your name, please.
We are Doctors Watson and Mortimer, and this gentleman is Sir Henry Baskerville, the new master of this estate.
Sir Henry.
Good afternoon,
Sergeant Martin, sir. All right, lads, no search on this one. I said no search, Corporal Harvey.
Sorry, sir.
Carry on, Sir Henry. Sorry about that later.
Perkins.
Oh, yes, sir. On there.
Would somebody please explain that charming little reception committee?
Well, soldiers on the roads usually means an escape from the prison, Perkins.
Oh, that's it, sir. He's been out 3 days now. Selden, his name.
Selden? Selden, the Notting Hill murderer?
That's him, sir.
You know him, Watson? One of yours, sure. Was he?
No, Scotland Yard had no trouble coping with him. He was a vicious killer.
I thought you hanged people like that.
There were doubts about his sanity.
Well, sane or not, I don't think much of his chances if he's living rough out there somewhere. It's beautiful. But I guess beauty can't conceal treachery, eh, Watson?
And danger, too. That wind's coming up.
You're right. Have you ever seen countryside to match it, Watson?
Never. And I never met a Devonshire man who didn't swear by his county.
Those hills against the sun. It's like a painting.
Are those buildings, Mortimer, on the summits?
Ruins. Stone huts and shelters. Prehistoric, mostly.
Prehistoric?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, this looks like something more modern coming up.
What is it, Mortimer? A gateway? It's pretty impressive.
Just wait till we're properly in position. Then you'll see something. We'll stop for a moment, Perkins. You know where.
Aye, Doctor. Oh, there.
Is that it?
That's it. Baskerville Hall. I'll never get used to the idea, Watson. I own that. This is the best view of the place. Your uncle always said that one's first sight of the hall should be from the end of... from here.
From the end of the yew alley.
Yes.
Drive on, please, Perkins.
Sir.
So this is where it happened.
Yes.
Is that the side gate, Mortimer? The gate to the open moor?
Yes. Sir Henry, I'm sorry.
Not a bit, Mortimer. He waited there. Then he ran. Away from the house.
Sir Henry? Are you all right?
Yes.
Yes, yes, sure. No wonder my uncle felt so uneasy all the time. This place is enough to scare any man. I'll have a row of electric lamps up here inside of 6 months. Oh, and you won't know it again.
Well, here we are.
Looks like another reception committee.
Well, more friendly than the last one, I hope.
Oh, there.
Welcome, Sir Henry. Welcome to Baskerville Hall.
I'm pleased to be here, Barrymore. This is Dr. Watson.
Doctor, my wife, gentlemen.
Good evening, Sir Henry. Everything is ready for you.
Oh, great. Then let's go in. You'll stay for dinner, Mortimer.
No, I must go. There'll be work waiting for me. And in any case, Barrymore can show you the hall far better than I could. Goodbye. Don't hesitate to send for me if I can be of service.
Goodbye, and thanks for everything.
Goodbye.
Don't forget, day or night.
Look at it, Watson. It's just the way I imagined it. To think that my people have lived here for over 500 years.
Yes. And by the look of him, Barrymore's been here almost as long. What do you make of him?
I don't know yet. But he certainly could have been the man in the cab in London. We must check about that telegram.
If this were a dime novel, he'd be our man for sure.
Shh, here he comes.
My wife will have dinner ready in a few minutes, sir. Please, follow me. The dining room, gentlemen.
How many people can you get in here, Barrymore?
I couldn't say, sir. Your uncle usually dined alone. Excuse me, sir.
My word, Watson. It isn't exactly a cheerful place.
It would be a deal more welcoming if it were less gloomy.
More lights. You're right. Look at this crowd.
Family portraits.
Every bit as daunting as this damn cavern. Come on, Doctor. Let's eat and get out of here. Perhaps things will look more cheerful in the morning.
My dear Holmes, we encountered no trouble on the journey down, which I spent becoming better acquainted with my two companions and Mortimer's spaniel. I find myself more and more impressed by young Sir Henry. As I looked at his expressive face, eagerly taking in the details of everything that was so new to him, I saw more than ever how true a descendant he is of that long line of high-blooded, fiery, and independent men. If there is truly a difficult and dangerous time ahead of us, he is a comrade for whom one would gladly venture to take a risk, knowing that he would bravely share it. But I do not need your powers of deduction to detect the words, facts, Watson, facts, forming on your lips. So, facts. We arrived here at dusk. Baskerville Hall is gloomy and forbidding, and the surrounding landscape is like something out of a fantastic dream. The Barrymores are distant and reserved. Sir Henry seems understandably subdued. Tomorrow I shall begin to follow your instructions and start gathering information. For the present, I wish you good night.
Oh, Watson,
Good morning.
Good morning.
Look at this place. Have you ever seen such a difference in a room?
The sunlight does brighten it up, it's true.
That paneling's glowing like bronze.
And your ancestors don't seem quite so disapproving as they did last night.
Well, most of them. Help yourself to breakfast.
Good.
There's enough for a regiment.
Is the food not satisfactory, Sir Henry?
Good morning, Barrymore.
Sir, doctor, if the food
the
is
food's
not...
The food's fine. Please, thank your wife.
Very well, sir, if you will excuse me.
Just a moment, Barrymore.
Doctor?
Did you hear a woman crying during the night?
You heard that too, Watson? I thought I must have been dreaming.
I heard it. What about you, Barrymore?
Well, ma'am?
My wife is the only woman in the house, Sir Henry. The sound could not have come from her. Will that be all?
Yes, you can go. I'm certain I heard that crying.
You did.
Grimpton's about a 4-mile walk, Dr. Watson. Right along the edge of the moor. You can't miss the post office. It's the village shop as well.
Very well. Thank you, Mrs. Barrymore.
My husband will wait for you in the library, Sir Henry.
All right, Mrs. Barrymore. I wish I could join you, Watson. But I've got enough paperwork to go through to last me a week. Say hello to Mortimer from me if you see him.
I will. And please remember...
I know. No wandering off on my own.
I'm none too certain I should leave you alone at all.
I can look after myself. You go and cross-examine the postmaster.
Well, yes, sir. I remember the telegram very well, sir. To be delivered into Mr. Barrymore's own hands. My delivery boy, James, took it to the hall straight away, didn't he, Dave?
Oh,
aye. Uh-huh.
And he gave it to Barrymore, personally?
Well, he gave it to Mrs. Barrymore, sir. Old John was up in the loft.
How do you know that?
Well, Mrs. Barrymore said so.
So your boy didn't actually see him at all?
No.
Then how do you know he was really there?
Well, surely his own wife ought to know where he is. I mean, didn't he get the telegram? I mean, is there some sort of complaint?
No complaint. I want to send a wire to London.
Dr. Watson! Dr. Watson!
Yes? Oh. What is it?
Please excuse my presumption, Dr. Watson. We're homely folk here on the moor, and don't wait for formal introductions. I'm Stapleton. Stapleton of Merripit House.
The naturalist?
Yes! Oh, well, entomologist, principally.
Oh, I'm delighted to meet you. How did you know who I was?
Oh, my friend, Dr. Mortimer, described you to me.
Oh.
How is Sir Henry? None the worse for the journey, I hope.
Oh, he's well, thank you.
Good. I was afraid that after Sir Charles's death, he might well refuse to come down and bury himself here. You know of the dreadful legend?
I've heard of it.
And has Mr. Sherlock Holmes?
I beg your pardon?
It's useless for us to pretend that we don't know you, Dr. Watson. You could hardly celebrate your detective without becoming famous yourself. If you're here, it follows that Sherlock Holmes is interesting himself in the matter.
I'm afraid I can't comment on that.
Oh, of course not. Of course not.
Now, if you'll excuse me...
Well, I'll walk with you, if I may. It's a wonderful place. The moor. Mm. You never tire of it and its secrets.
You know it well?
Oh, my sister Beryl and I have only been here for 2 years. Oh. The residents call us newcomers. But I pride myself that few men know the moor as well as I.
Is it so hard to know?
Very hard. It's so vast and barren. And rarely what it seems. Look at that great plain to the north.
A fine place for a gallop.
That thought has cost folks their lives before now.
Their lives?
That plain is the Great Grimpen Mire. It's a maze of marsh and quicksand. One false step means death. Those low hills are really islands. Oh, I've had some rare specimens from there.
You've crossed it, then?
Oh, many times.
I'll try my luck at it someday.
For God's sake, put such an idea right out of your mind. your blood would be on my head.
Good God, what's that?
The peasants say it's the phantom hound. The hound of the Baskervilles. Queer place. The moor.
That was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard in my life.
Oh, it's the mud settling or the water rising or something. Don't move.
What?
Quiet, I beg you. Over there. A cyclopides. You see?
Cyclopides?
The small white butterfly. He's very rare. But I shall have him. Oh, he's off. Excuse me, doctor. Oh.
Good luck, Stapleton.
Stop.
What?
Go back. Go straight back to London at once.
Who are you?
For God's sake, do what I say. Get away from the moor at all costs. Go back to London while there's still time.
But why? What's the danger?
Burial!
You're Miss Stapleton.
You've introduced yourselves, I see.
Yes. I was just telling Sir Henry.
No. My name is Dr. Watson.
Then we've been talking at cross purposes.
You've hardly had time for talk.
It was a foolish misunderstanding, Jack. Forgive me, Dr. Watson.
Of course.
But Burial... Dr. Watson is in a hurry. We mustn't detain him. Good day to you, Dr. Watson. Burial!
Forget what I said to you. Goodbye, Doctor.
Ah, Watson, come in. Good walk.
I'm not interrupting.
Yes, you are. And very welcome it is, too. I'm not cut up for all this paperwork. Did you run into Mortimer?
No, but I met the Stapletons.
The bug collector and his sister. What are they like?
Oh, he's a rather nervous sort, jittery.
Well, what about her? Well?
She is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
You don't say.
Oh, yes. And what's more, she mistook me for you.
Well, we can't have that. I'd better arrange for her to meet the real thing, and as soon as possible.
It sounds wonderful.
Oh, Canada's a rare country. But I'm a Devonshire man at heart.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it. We need a Baskerville at the Hall.
Is it the countryside that attracts you, or the people?
Oh, definitely. Both.
Mr. Stapleton's right. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Franklin.
I hope you'll exercise a firm hand. The local people will respect you for it.
Mr. Franklin is a firm believer in the power of authority, Sir Henry.
Oh. What I believe in is the law. Too many people these days seem to think they carry on exactly as they like. Don't you agree, Watson?
That's certainly true of London, I don't know about down here.
They have to be shown what's right and what's wrong.
How many cases have you got on at the moment, Franklin?
Cases?
Mr. Franklin delights in litigation.
Is it six or seven, Mr. Franklin?
Seven, Miss Stapleton, seven.
Good heavens.
And I warn you, Mortimer, if you dig up any more skulls from that barrow on Long Down, I'll have you for opening a grave without the permission of the next of kin.
What do you think of our county, Dr. Watson?
Well, the moor is astonishing. I think that its spirit and its moods affect everything here.
That sounds rather sinister.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. It has charm as well as mystery. And beauty, too.
Well, I, for one, will happily drink to the beauty of the moor. Oh.
I must say, Sir Henry, how... saddened we all were by your uncle's death.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Stapleton. I suppose it wasn't entirely unexpected.
His heart, you mean?
Yes.
He put himself under a lot of extra strain.
Strain, Mr. Franklin?
He means that poor old Sir Charles was worrying himself to death anyway. I'm sorry, Sir Henry, but it's true.
What do you mean?
He's talking about the hound.
I'm afraid he was quite obsessed with the legend.
Well, he was an old man. He lived alone. He had some strange notions.
Many of the local people believe in the hound. You shouldn't ignore them.
Beryl, you'll be scaring Sir Henry away.
Oh, there's no danger of that.
Miss Stapleton is right. You shouldn't ignore the stories.
Oh, come on, Mortimer.
Sir Henry, listen to me. I wasn't going to tell you this, but now I think perhaps I should. A few days before he died, I was attending Sir Charles here at the hall. It was dark when I left, and he came with me to the door. I saw his eyes suddenly fix themselves over my shoulder. He was staring past me, and the expression on his face was one of the most dreadful horror. I turned round and...
And?
And I can tell you this. The Hound of the Baskervilles is no legend. It exists. I have seen it.
That was part one of The Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools. With Roger Rees as Sherlock Holmes, Crawford Logan as Dr. John Watson, and Matt Zimmerman as Sir Henry Baskerville. Sir Charles Baskerville was played by Norman Bird, Stapleton by Jonathan Taffler, Dr. Mortimer by Peter Craze, Beryl by Caroline Gruber, and Barrymore by Richard Tate. Barbara Atkinson played Mrs. Hudson, and John Baddeley, Clayton. The violinist was Catherine Adams, and The Hound of the Baskervilles was directed by David Johnston. At the same time next Friday, you can hear the final part of The Hound of the Baskervilles, Death on the Moor.
I don't know what to make of Mortimer.
He seems sincere enough.
Maybe he'd been around my uncle too long. Some of the old boy's ideas were starting to rub off.
And we mustn't let this nonsense about the hound blind us to the other business.
You still think I'm in some kind of danger?
Explain yourself, sir.
No, Stapleton. You explain yourself. By God, if you weren't the lady's brother, I'd take my fists to you for your insolence.
Leave, sir. You'll not touch so much as the tips of her fingers. Are you going?
Barrymore, what are you playing at?
Nothing, sir. It was the window. I go round every night to see that they're fastened.
On the second floor?
Yes, sir. All the windows.
Give me the candlestick, Barrymore.
Sir Henry?
Do as you're told. What are you up to, Watson?
I thought so. Look, out on the moor.
Another light. A signal. Look out!
My God, Watson. I owe you my life.
Oh, Holmes, I'll never forgive myself for leaving him.
I'm more to blame than you, Watson. But how could I know that he'd risk his life alone on the moor at night, in the face of all my warnings? How could I know? Holmes. I swear to you, Watson, the man responsible shall pay dearly for this.
Here he comes. Watson,
something's happening at the house. Damn this fog.
Down, Watson.
He's a brave man, Holmes. Holmes, don't move a muscle. It's coming.
Roger Rees as Sherlock Holmes, Crawford Logan, Dr. Watson, and Matt Zimmerman, Sir Henry Baskerville, in Death on the Moor, the final part of The Hand of the Baskervilles, next Friday afternoon on Radio 4.
It's 2 minutes past three. It was a few days before he died. Sir Charles was staring past me, and the expression on his face was one of dreadful horror. I turned round.
And?
And I can tell you this. The Hound of the Baskervilles is no legend. It exists. I have seen it.
The Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Dramatized in two parts by Bert Cools. With Roger Rees as Sherlock Holmes, Crawford Logan as Dr. John Watson, and Matt Zimmerman as Sir Henry Baskerville. The Hound of the Baskervilles. Part 2, Death on the Moor.
Poppycock. Begging your pardon, Miss Stapleton.
Franklin's right. It must have been a sheepdog. Or a wild calf wandered in from the open moor.
It was a huge black hound. Its eyes and mouth were on fire.
Why didn't you mention this in London?
Or would you have believed me then any more than you believe me now?
I believe you.
Beryl!
This moor is a horrible place. It contains many terrible things.
That's enough, Beryl.
What do you think of all this, Watson?
Obviously, Dr. Mortimer saw something.
Yes. The bottom of several bottles from Sir Charles's cellar.
I know what I saw. It killed your uncle, Sir Henry, and now it's waiting for you. It's out there now, waiting for you.
Good shot, Watson. Well, this is no contest, I'm afraid. Hard luck. Luck has nothing to do with it. It's been quite an evening. I don't know what to make of Mortimer.
He seems sincere enough.
Maybe he'd been run my uncle too long. Some of the old boy's ideas were starting to rub off.
We mustn't let this nonsense about the hound blind us to the other business.
You still think I'm in some kind of danger? We've been here a week and nothing's happened.
You were shadowed around London. You received an anonymous letter threatening your life.
Something is happening.
What did you think of her?
I thought your mind wasn't on the game.
Brilliant deduction. It can't be much of a life for her down here. I wonder if she's lonely.
My dear Holmes, you asked for information on the local residents. I hardly know where to begin. I will send you detailed descriptions as soon as I have composed them. My initial reactions are that Frankland is a harmless crank, Stapleton an ineffectual and rather tedious individual, and his sister Beryl, a beautiful young woman who belongs in a world far different from this. Sir Henry has begun to display a considerable interest in the fair Miss Stapleton. We may well have a love affair added to all our other difficulties. There is a definite atmosphere of unease in the air, of impending tragedy. No doubt you consider this an unscientific observation, but nonetheless I am convinced of it. My revolver never leaves my side, nor I, Sir Henry's.
Dr. Watson.
Good morning, Mrs. Barrymore. Breakfast smells as good as ever.
Thank you, sir.
Sir Henry's late down this morning?
Oh, no, sir. Sir Henry's been gone half an hour or more.
Gone?
Gone where?
For a walk, he said. Across the moor.
Doctor! My hat and coat! Quickly!
Good morning, Beryl.
Sir Henry, what are you doing here?
You're getting to know the neighbors. Is your brother in?
No. He's out on the moor. But he'll soon be back. You must leave. Now.
Leave? Am I that repulsive to you, Beryl?
No. Of course not.
Well, then let me stay. For a while, at least. Show me your house.
Listen. If you really do care for me, you must leave the moor. Today. Now. You're in great danger here.
Danger? From whom? I don't see any hounds.
You mustn't laugh about it. This is an evil place.
Nothing that contains such beauty can be that evil. Beryl.
Sir Henry. No, you mustn't. Please.
Get away from my sister, sir!
Oh.
Good morning, Stapleton.
What do you think you're doing? How dare you force yourself on a lady?
Now, just a minute.
Do you think that just because you have a title, you can behave as you please? Leave us, Beryl.
Jack.
Leave us.
Oh.
Now, explain yourself, sir.
No, Stapleton. You explain yourself. By God, if you weren't the lady's brother, I'd take my fist to you for your insolence.
Leave, sir. You'll not touch so much as the tips of her fingers. Are you going?
You pathetic little fool. What right have you to keep her from me?
A brother's right.
Good day to you, Sir Henry.
Sir Henry!
Watson!
Sir Henry, are you all right?
Where the devil have you dropped in from?
I followed you. You shouldn't have gone off alone.
Alone? Anything but, it seems. Come on. Let's walk back together. You can protect me. She may have some more relatives about. Here.
Thank you.
So, what's wrong with me, Watson?
Wrong?
What is it that Stapleton objects to so violently? It can hardly be my position, so it must be me.
I can see nothing.
Then why the devil did he carry on the way he did? I swear he would have killed me if he had a weapon.
I should have been with you.
Yes, Barrymore?
Mr. Stapleton, Sir Henry.
Well, well, well. Show the gentleman in.
I'll go.
No, please don't. I may well need a second.
Mr. Stapleton.
Well, sir?
I've come to apologize.
Go on.
My rudeness this morning. Quite unforgivable. You must understand, Sir Henry, that my sister is everything in my life. We've always been together, and the thought of losing her...
I'm glad you appreciate her worth, Stapleton.
I've always been a lonely man. I used to run a school, did you know that? Just a small private establishment in the north. There was an epidemic amongst the boys, and we had to close. It was terrible. If it hadn't been for Beryl, I suppose I've always known that someday somebody would appear. I just need time to get used to the idea, that's all. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, that's a handsome apology. Give me your hand, Stapleton.
Oh, Sir Henry, thank you. Won't you and the doctor be our guests for dinner at Merripit House? Shall we say Friday? It's hardly Baskerville Hall, of course, but...
Friday it is.
Oh, thank you. I know Beryl will be delighted. Thank you again. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, well, well. So, Holmes, at least one mystery has come and gone. We now know why Stapleton looked with such disfavor on Sir Henry's attentions to his sister.
I wish I could clear up our other problems as easily. The butler, Barrymore, and his wife continue to puzzle me. On the surface, they are distant and unemotional, but more than once I have observed the traces of tears on Mrs. Barrymore's face.
What the devil? Don't struggle. And when I take my hand away, don't speak above a whisper. Do you understand me? Right.
What in God's name is all this about? Are you all right?
Something happened. I'm fine. Come with me. Look. Barrymore. What's he doing? I don't know. But he's being damnably secretive about it. Wait here, Watson.
Barrymore, what are you playing at?
Nothing, sir. It was the window. I go round every night to see that they're fastened.
On the second floor?
Yes, sir. All the windows.
Give me the candlestick, Barrymore.
Sir Henry?
Do as you're told. What are you up to, Watson?
I thought so. Look, out on the moor.
Under the light.
It's nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
Nothing, is it? Move your light again, Watson.
The other one moves with it.
A signal. Speak up, Barrymore, or you'll leave my employment right away.
Tell him, John.
Eliza, no! Tell me what?
John has done nothing except for my sake because I asked him.
Speak out, then. What does all this mean?
My unhappy brother is starving out on the moor. The light is a signal that food is ready for him.
Your brother is Selden, the escaped convict.
Yes, sir.
Every second night we signal, sir. And if there's a response, I take out some bread and a bit of meat.
Every time we hoped that he'd be gone, but as long as he was there, I couldn't desert him. I know he's done terrible things, but he's ill, sir. He's sick.
Eliza.
So you see, sir, if there is blame in the matter, it doesn't lie with my husband, but with me. It was for my sake he's done all that he has.
Is this true, Barrymore?
Yes, Sir Henry. Every word of it.
Well, I can't blame you for standing by your own wife. You can forget what I said.
Thank you, sir.
Go to bed, you two. We'll talk further about this in the morning.
Oh, thank you very much, Sir Henry. Thank you.
Good night, sir.
Give me the light, Watson.
You still there?
Right. I'm going out to take that man.
We must close in on him quickly. Take him by surprise. He'll be desperate and dangerous. I say, Watson, what would Holmes think of this?
How about keeping off the moor in those hours of darkness when the powers of evil are exalted?
What was that?
I don't know. Just a sound they have on the moor.
Watson. What do the local people call it?
Tell me.
They say it's the cry of the hound of the Baskervilles.
Heralding the death of a member of the family.
Shall we turn back?
No, by thunder. We've come out to get our man and get him with Shell. Do you believe in this supernatural hellhound?
No, I don't.
And neither do I. But it's one thing to laugh at it in London, and another entirely to stand out here and... What the devil?
Look out! My God, Watson! I owe you my life!
Are you injured?
No. You?
No. He must have been right above us.
Watching us all the time. Is he still there?
Oh, I saw him running off. He'll be well away by now.
Damn. Let's get back.
You're trembling. It's mild shock.
Good God. What?
Where is it?
On that rock. Against the moon.
Where? What can you see, man? Tell me.
He's gone.
It was a man you saw.
Of course. Of course it was a man.
It must have been Selden.
Yes, yes, it must have been. Come on. Let's get you home.
It was not Selden, Holmes. I caught a glimpse of the convict as he pushed the rock. A small, twisted figure with long, matted hair and beard. What I saw was the silhouette of a tall, thin man standing with his arms folded and his head bowed. He might have been the very spirit of that terrible place. Can he be the source of the danger I feel so keenly? I have said nothing of this to Sir Henry.
Watson, I want your opinion.
Hmm?
The Barrymores here think it was unfair of us to go after Selden.
Indeed.
I didn't think you would take advantage of our confidence, Sir Henry.
Yes, yes, so you've said. Mrs. Barrymore, tell the doctor what you told me.
Yes, sir. Well, we've made all the arrangements, Doctor, and in a few days my unhappy brother will be on his way to South America. I beg you not to tell the police that he's still on the moor.
He'll never trouble anyone again, I assure you, Doctor.
I'm worried about those isolated houses. The Stapletons...
He wouldn't do anything so mad, sir. Give him away at once.
I don't know. What do you say, Watson?
If he was safely out of the country, I suppose it would at least relieve the taxpayer of a burden.
That's true. Okay, Barrymore.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Sir Henry. I couldn't have borne it if he'd been captured again. And you, Dr. Watson.
All right, that's it. You can go.
Oh, thank you, sir. John?
All right, Eliza. I'll be a few minutes.
Very well.
What is it, Barrymore?
You've been so kind to us, sir. I'd like to do the best I can in return. I know something, sir, about Sir Charles's death.
Do you know how he died?
No, Doctor, I don't know that.
What then?
I know why he waited at the moor gate at that hour of the night. It was to meet a woman.
A woman? My uncle? What was this woman's name?
I only know her initials, sir. L.L.
How do you know this, Barrymore?
Look at this, Doctor.
Watson?
It's a fragment from a letter. A postscript, I think. It's badly charred. The rest was presumably burnt.
That's correct, sir. My wife found that in the grate of Sir Charles's study just a few weeks ago. We hadn't been in there since he died.
It's definitely a woman's hand. Please, please, as you are a gentleman, burn this letter and be at the gate by 10 o'clock. L.L. L.L.
Here you are, Dr. Watson. You can't go out without an umbrella in weather like this.
Thank you.
What a terrible day.
I'm sure he's all right, Mrs. Barrymore.
Thank you, sir. I pray you're right. We put some food out last night and it had gone by this morning.
There, you see?
Yes, sir. Unless it was the other man who took it.
You know about the other man? Have you seen him?
No, sir. My brother told me about him a week ago or more. He doesn't know who he is. I don't like it, Doctor. I tell you straight, there's some villainy brewing. I can feel it. I wish Sir Henry would go back to London where it's safe.
Dr. Watson.
Dr. Mortimer.
Good afternoon.
Well,
Better now the rain's finally stopped. Been to Grimpen?
Yeah, to the post office. Another report to Holmes.
Oh, and how is he?
Oh, very tied up with this big blackmailing case.
Ah.
I've had the odd telegram back, but that's about all. But he's still very concerned about Sir Henry, of course.
Good, good. Well, climb up, Doctor. I seem to be going your way.
Oh, why? Thank you.
Walk on.
Forgive me, but is everything all right, Mortimer?
Oh, I'm sorry, Watson. I'm not very good company. I'm really worried about my poor little spaniel.
Yorick? Is he ill?
He's disappeared.
Oh.
Wandered out onto the moor and never came back.
Oh, I'm sure he'll turn up. You know what dogs are. I had a bull pup once. Was always wandering off somewhere. Used to drive Holmes wild.
It's kind of you to try to cheer me up, Watson, but he's gone, I'm sure of it. The moor can be deadly. I've seen full-grown ponies sink to their death in the Grimpen Mire. Poor little chap wouldn't have stood a chance.
Mortimer?
Hmm?
You must know just about everyone who lives around here. Is there a woman with the initials L.L.?
L.L.? No, there isn't. Not in Grimpen or around. There is Laura Lyons, but she lives in Coombe Tracy. That's some miles away.
Laura Lyons? Who's she?
Well, she's old Franklin's daughter. But he won't have anything to do with her. She married without his permission, and then the fellow deserted her.
Huh?
So between the old sinner and the young one, the girl's had a pretty bad time of it.
How does she live?
Well, story got about. Several of the people here did something to help. Stapleton did, for one. Myself, and a few others. And Sir Charles, of course.
Please sit down, Dr. Watson.
Thank you.
How can I help you?
It's about the late Sir Charles Baskerville. Did you know him?
I owe a great deal to his generosity. But for Sir Charles and a few other kind people, I might well have starved.
Did you correspond with him?
What is the object of these questions?
The object is to avoid a public scandal.
A scandal?
The matter is a delicate one. Surely it's better that we talk quietly about it here rather than have it pass out of our control.
Very well. I'll answer.
Did you correspond with Sir Charles?
I wrote to him once or twice to thank him for his kindness.
Did you ever write asking him to meet you?
Certainly not.
Not on the very day of his death?
No. No.
I'm truly sorry to press you, Mrs. Lyons. I wouldn't do so if the matter were not of great importance. Please look at this.
Oh. Is there no such thing as a gentleman?
You do Sir Charles an injustice. He did burn the letter, as you asked. This scrap is all that remains.
Oh, why should I deny it? I'm not ashamed of what I did.
I must ask you for the details. A great deal may hang on your words.
Very well. I'll tell you all I can.
Full details in my next report, Watson. There, postmaster. Be sent straight away.
Very good, sir. That'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
1 shilling and 9 pence.
Thank you, James. 1 shilling and 9 pence, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything for me from London?
Yes, there is, Doctor. Sent this morning from
Baker Street.
Yes, James. Baker Street, West 1. Here, Arthur.
Thank you. Please, no more romancing. Facts, facts, facts. Holmes. Thank you, Postmaster.
Very good, sir.
Congratulate me, sir.
Mr. Franklin.
This is a great day for me, sir. One of the red letter days of my life. I have forced them to close the wood where the Fernworthy folk used to picnic.
But why?
These infernal people swarming everywhere with their papers and their bottles have been shown that the law is the law. Oh, they call me a crack, but I know a thing or two. This convict fellow now. I could tell those stupid guards
you
exactly...
You know where he is?
I do, sir. I have seen the messenger who takes him his food.
And no doubt you'll be prosecuting this wretched man for aiding a criminal.
Ma'am, sir, it's a child, some peasant urchin.
A child? Then...
Every day I see him through my telescope. The same time, every day. He goes up to Billy Vator. Miss Selden's obviously sheltering in one of the old stone huts. Aha! It's a clear case of illegal occupancy. Tell me, sir, what is your opinion? Damned impudence.
Come out of the hut very slowly. I am armed. I want to know who you are and why you've been following Sir Henry Baskerville. Do you hear me? Very well.
I'm in no hurry. I can wait.
This. Dr. Watson has gone to Coombe Tracy. My God.
It's a lovely evening, Watson.
Holmes.
I really think you'll be more comfortable outside than in. There you are. The glassware isn't up to Mrs. Hudson's standard, but it will serve.
Thank you, Holmes.
I had no idea you'd find me until I was virtually outside the door.
My footprint.
Your tobacconist.
What?
A cigarette stub marked Bradley's, Oxford Street, will always tell me that my friend Watson's in the neighbourhood. Here. I found it on the path. Mm. You approached the hut, paused, probably to issue a challenge in those admirably commanding tones of yours, then, receiving no reply, drew your revolver.
I cocked my revolver. It was already drawn.
Cocked your revolver and stormed the hut.
Really, Holmes?
Finding it empty, you looked around, decided that the mysterious occupant would sooner or later return, and sat in ambush smoking a cigarette. Correct?
Correct.
You didn't know who I was, but you were determined to find out. Excellent. How did you localize me? You saw me. Perhaps on the night you went after the convict when I was so imprudent as to allow the moon to rise behind me.
Yes, I saw you then.
And you searched all the huts until you came to this one. Well done, Watson.
No. Your boy was observed bringing you out supplies. I knew exactly where to look.
Ah.
How long have you been here? I thought you were in Baker Street.
That's exactly what I wanted you to think.
Oh.
Watson?
I thought you trusted me.
My dear
but why keep me in the dark? And what about my reports? All wasted. Do you know how much time and trouble went into them? Don't I deserve better than this?
My dear fellow, here are your reports. And very well thumbed, I assure you. They've been reaching me after only a day's delay.
But why the deception? Damn it all, Holmes, I'm not a child.
Believe me, Watson, I'm sorry it was necessary. I had to be an unknown factor in this business.
Even to me?
Even to you. You would have tried to contact me or bring me out some comfort or other. I couldn't let you take that risk.
Well, I'm glad to see you. In fact, I was never so glad to see anyone in my life. And since you've come, I assume I was right. There is danger here.
It's murder, Watson. Refined, cold-blooded, deliberate murder. Have you left Sir Henry in safe hands?
At Baskerville Hall. I had to go to Coombe Tracy to speak to Laura Lyons.
Excellent! I was going to see her tomorrow.
You know about her?
No details. What did she tell you?
That she had written to Sir Charles, asking him to meet her on the day of his death. She needed money to secure a divorce from her brute of a husband. But she didn't keep the appointment.
She didn't go. Why not?
At the last moment, she received help from someone else.
I knew it! This is the key to everything. Well done, Watson. But I'll wager she wouldn't say who gave her the money.
No, she absolutely refused to tell me. She said it would place the gentleman in an impossible position.
Gentleman be damned! He's as deep a villain as we've ever encountered. You know who it is. I do. And thanks to you, my case against him is all but complete. The great danger is that he may strike before we're ready for him. Oh, my God. Sir Henry. The hound. Watson?
Beaten us. We're too late.
No.
I was a fool to wait. And you, Watson, see what comes of abandoning your charge. But by heaven, if the worst has happened, we'll avenge him. This way.
Careful, the edge.
Watson, down there. Wait.
Sir Henry. Oh, Holmes, I'll never forgive myself for leaving him.
I'm more to blame than you, Watson. But how could I know that he'd risk his life alone on the moor at night, in the face of all my warnings? How could I know?
Holmes.
I swear to you, Watson, the man responsible shall pay dearly for this. Wait here.
We must send for help, Holmes. You can't carry him yourself. Holmes! Are you mad?
A beard! This man has a beard!
A beard?
Look, Watson. Look.
It's not Sir Henry. But the clothes...
It's Selden. Oh. It's my neighbor, the convict.
Barrymore. Sir Henry gave him some old clothes to get rid of.
Those clothes have been the poor fellow's death.
Shh. Shh. What's that light?
Hello? Hello?
Watson.
Over here!
Dr. Watson? Well, you're the last person I'd expected to... Mr. Holmes.
Good evening, sir. I fear you have me at a disadvantage.
I'm Stapleton, Dear me, what's this? Sir Henry? Who is this?
It's Selden, the man who escaped from the prison. His neck is broken.
So this is the notorious murderer. Huh? Now we can all sleep soundly again, eh? Eh?
Why didn't you accept Stapleton's offer of a bed for the night, since he knows you're here?
There's no point any more in concealment. And I want to talk to Sir Henry. Ring the bell, Watson. Watson... We heard Selden scream as he fell from the ledge in the darkness. That's all we heard. You understand?
I understand.
Oh, no.
I'm truly sorry to have been the bearer of such bad news, Mrs. Barrymore.
We appreciate your feelings, Mr. Holmes. Thank you.
Drink this, Mrs. Barrymore. It'll help you sleep.
Thank you, Doctor.
Take your wife up, Barrymore. We'll serve ourselves tonight. Thank you, sir. Come on, Eliza.
Thank you, Sir Henry. Gentlemen. I knew something dreadful was going to happen. I knew it. That moor is evil. Evil.
Now, Sir Henry, I need your help.
What can I do?
You can swear to me that you'll carry out any instructions I give you, blindly and to the letter, without asking the reason.
You have my word.
Thank you. I've no doubt that...
Holmes? Whatever's the matter?
Watson insists that I know nothing about art.
What?
But that is a fine series of family portraits.
As far as I'm concerned, all they're good for is putting me off my food.
Who's this gentleman? The Cavalier.
Well, he's the cause of all the trouble. Sir Hugo. The first victim of the family curse.
So that's the notorious Hugo. Illuminating.
Holmes, what are you up to? I'm sorry to keep you up so late, Doctor, but this had to wait until Sir Henry had retired. Hold up your candle.
Haven't you stared at this wretched portrait enough for one evening?
Look at it, Watson. Don't you see it?
There's a touch of Sir Henry about the jaw.
Yes, yes. But let me mask off the beard and these rather extravagant ringlets. Now.
Stapleton.
Stapleton. It's the last link. Our case is complete.
Stapleton's a Baskerville.
Shh, shh, shh. My investigations suggested as much, but the portrait confirms it. Sir Charles had a brother who fell foul of the law and fled to South America. He was believed to have died unmarried, but there was, in fact, a secret ceremony, and, as you see, an equally secret offspring. Stapleton is next in line to the
Baskerville fortune.
Shh. And, Watson, his interest in wildlife extends far beyond butterflies and moths.
Good morning, Holmes. You look like a general planning a battle.
That is the exact situation. Watson was asking for orders.
And so do I.
Very good. I understand that you're dining with our friends, the Stapletons, tonight.
Well, I hope that you'll come also. I'm sure they'd be delighted to see you.
Perhaps. But I'm afraid that's impossible. Watson and I must go back to London.
To London? Now?
Yes.
I hope that you were going to see me through this business. I've a good mind to come with you. Why should I stay here alone?
Because I tell you to do so.
Very well.
You must do exactly as I say. You will drive to Merripit House tonight. Then you will send Perkins and the trap back here. Tell your host that you plan to walk back to the hall at the end of the evening.
Across the moor? On foot?
Yes.
But damn it! That's the very thing you've always warned me never to do.
This one time, you will do it.
He was very hurt. He thinks we're deserting him.
It can't be helped.
You're putting him in great danger tonight.
Yes, I know.
There must be some other way.
Watson, if I didn't have complete confidence in his nerve and courage, I would never have suggested it.
Why didn't we just go and arrest Stapleton?
Watson, you're the eternal man of action. But stop and think for a moment. We have no actual evidence whatsoever.
But
nothing that would stand for a second in a British courtroom. Neither Sir Charles nor Selden bore any marks of violence. The petty thefts in London are nothing.
The anonymous letter.
As you value your life or your reason, keep away from the moor. That wasn't a threat, Watson. It was a warning. And it came from Stapleton's wife.
His wife? He has a wife.
He does.
You described her in your usual flowery fashion as one of the most beautiful women you have ever seen.
Beryl Stapleton is really his wife. But Sir Henry...
Yes, I know. A complication.
No wonder Stapleton was so opposed to the romance. But how do you know she's his wife?
He so far forgot himself as to tell you a true piece of autobiography. He really was a schoolmaster in the north. And there's no one easier to trace than a schoolmaster. I discovered that a school had come to grief under atrocious circumstances, and the man who owned it had disappeared with his wife. The name was different, but the descriptions agreed.
Well,
when I learned that the missing man was devoted to entomology, the identification was complete.
But why the deception?
He foresaw that she would be much more useful to him in the character of a free woman. She is part of the plot.
An unwilling part, if she did send that note.
Oh, yes. Our Mr. Stapleton is no respecter of the fair sex. But now we have him. By tonight, he'll be fluttering in our net, as helpless as one of his own butterflies. A pin, a cork, and a card, and we add him to the Baker Street collection. Ah, I believe this is our stop, Coombe Tracey.
Dr. Watson.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Lyons. I'm sorry to be troubling you.
My name is Sherlock Holmes.
Come inside.
Mrs. Lyons. I'm investigating the death of Sir Charles Baskerville. My friend here, Dr. Watson, has informed me of what you have said and also of what you have withheld.
What have I withheld?
Vital information. I wish to be perfectly frank with you, Mrs. Lyons. We regard this case as one of murder, and the evidence may implicate not only your friend, Mr. Stapleton, but his wife as well.
His wife?
The person who passes for his sister.
He has no wife.
Aha.
Prove it. Prove it to me. And if you can...
I have come prepared to do so. Here are documents, written descriptions, and this photograph.
Oh.
It is, as you see, endorsed Mr. and Mrs. Vandeleur, but you will have no difficulty in recognizing him and her also, if you know her by sight.
He used me.
I'm afraid he did.
He promised me marriage. He said he... Ask me anything you like, gentlemen. I'll conceal nothing.
The letter you sent to Sir Charles, asking him to meet you in the grounds of Baskerville Hall. It was suggested by Stapleton.
He dictated it.
And then after you had sent the letter, it was he who persuaded you not to keep the appointment?
He told me that for another man to pay for my divorce would hurt his self-respect. His self-respect!
His one aim was to lure Sir Charles to the edge of the moor after dusk. When his wife refused to do it, he cultivated your... friendship. That was his sole interest in you.
He said that he would find the money, that he would devote his last penny to removing the obstacles which divided us.
The gentleman is an expert at removing obstacles. You are an extremely lucky woman, Mrs. Lyons.
Lucky, Mr. Holmes.
You are the one person who knew the truth. You have had him in your power and he knew it. And you are still alive.
Don't do it! Don't do it! This is the greatest day of my life! Years of planning and watching and waiting. And tonight, the final barrier falls. And you want me to let him live?
Tell him the truth! Tell him who you are! He's a good man, a generous man!
You pathetic little fool! Look around you! Look at this place! Do you want nothing better than this for the rest of your days? Do you think I can be content with charity from him?
Oh, I shall tell him.
What did you say?
When he comes here tonight, I'll tell him everything. Then he'll take me away from this dreadful place. Away from you.
Away from me?
No. No!
It's 10 o'clock. He can't be very long now.
The fog, Watson.
Huh?
The wind's changed. The fog's drifting from the Grimpen Mire straight towards us. It's the one thing on earth that could upset my plans. What was that?
A light went out. The kitchen, I think.
If he isn't out in 5 minutes, the path will be covered. Where is he? Where is he?
Well... Good night, Stapleton. Thanks again.
Good night, Sir Henry. I'm so sorry that Beryl couldn't join us.
Me too. But she's sensible to stay in bed if it's a bad chill. Get Mortimer to look at her in the morning.
Oh, I'll make sure she has every attention.
Good. And don't forget, dinner at the hall as soon as she's up to it.
You're very generous.
Hey, it's getting misty.
Please be careful on the way back.
Don't worry. I'll be fine. Good night.
Good night. Enjoy the walk.
There he is.
Thank God.
He'll be here in a couple of minutes. Get down, Watson. He mustn't see us. And have your revolver ready.
Save your energy. It's too late to warn him now. He's on his way. He was most concerned about you. Dear sister, so sorry to hear that you're indisposed. He loves you. He wants you. And you want him. You. What was that, dear sister? Oh, I'm sorry. Here.
No more, please.
things first.
No!
First things first.
Here he comes. Watson?
Something's happening at the house.
Damn this fog. Down, Watson.
He's a brave man, Holmes.
Holmes, don't move a muscle. It's coming. Watson! Great God in heaven! You hit it, Watson!
Its eyes are on fire.
What manner of creature? Watson, if we can wound it, we can kill it. Sir Henry, come on! Where is it? This way!
Sir Henry.
He's still alive, Holmes. Watson, are you all right?
Yes.
My God. Look at that brute. What in heaven's name is it?
It's dead. Whatever it is. We've laid the family ghost once and forever.
You saved my life.
Having first endangered it, I owe you a deep apology. I was prepared for a hound, but this...
So, the ghost is no ghost after all. What does it all mean, Holmes?
It means that we must move swiftly. There's one more creature that must be brought to heel.
Stapleton! Stapleton! Oh. Watson! Quickly!
Good God. Oh. He's taking a whip to her. Mrs. Stapleton. Oh. Mrs. Stapleton.
Oh. Is he safe? Has he escaped?
He cannot escape us, madam.
No. Not my husband. Sir Henry.
Beryl!
Oh, thank heaven. The hound?
Is dead. Holmes, where's that brandy?
Here.
Drink this. Did he do this to you?
I thought he loved me.
Tell us where he has gone.
For him. And cheated.
Madam. Where has he gone?
Oh, don't.
Tell me.
The mine. The old tin mine in the heart of the Grimham Mire.
Ah.
Where he keeps the hound. There's a secret path through the quicksands.
Come, Watson.
No, it's deadly in this fog.
Watson!
Holmes.
The fog's beginning to thin. Can you see him?
See him? Surely after all this time...
No, he didn't come straight here. He had to check on the hound first. We may not be all that far behind him.
Oh, this is a... filthy place.
Watson, shine the lantern to your left.
Where? Oh, God.
Mortimer's spaniel.
It's been ripped apart.
Stapleton must have kept the hound practically starved. Mm.
So we're on the right path?
Yes. Come on.
Oh! Oops! The quicksand. Give me your hand.
No! Stay back! Stay back, I say.
Give me... Now. Give me your hand there.
Thank you, Watson.
You're welcome, Holmes. Oh, this place is deadly. We must go back.
A man under my protection nearly died tonight. Do you want Sir Henry to live the rest of his life in fear? Give me the lantern. I'll lead.
Oh, for heaven's sake, watch your footing.
Watson.
What is it?
Wait for the moon. There.
Stapleton. He's heading for the heart of the mire.
And he hasn't seen us.
Stapleton!
You fool, Holmes! Go back!
You can't escape me! Stapleton, I know everything! Give yourself up!
You're helpless here! This is my world! Goodbye, Mr. Sherlock Holmes!
I've lost him.
There's another break in the clouds coming. Then we'll have him.
What the devil?
Help me!
He's in the mire.
Give me the lantern. I may be able to find a safe path. Holmes! For God's sake, give me the lantern! Holmes!
Do you want a drink? Holmes? Here.
Thank you, Doctor. Your health.
And yours.
I underestimated him, Watson. I came close to throwing away Sir Henry's life.
But you risked your own, trying to bring him to justice.
And yours.
Well, you saved mine. I would never have got to him through that quicksand.
It was an obscene place. The stench of decay and death everywhere. Mm.
Stapleton loved it. He said the rarest and most beautiful butterflies came from there.
How small we stand before the great enigmas of nature. What's the meaning of it, Watson? This endless circle of misery and violence and fear.
Huh? Holmes? I still need a few more details for my notes. Would you mind? The anonymous letter.
I knew from the first that it was from a woman. There was the faintest hint of perfume still lingering on the paper.
Good Lord.
The presence of a woman in the case led me to the Stapletons even before I left Baker Street.
As early as that? What put you onto the fact that there really was a genuine hound?
The boots, of course.
The boots? Why didn't I...
Watson?
The first boot he stole was new and carried no scent, so a second older one disappeared as well. Is that it?
Is there anything else you would like me to explain for you?
One more thing. It was a touch of genius to coat the hound with phosphorescent paint, but why didn't it interfere with its sense of smell?
Very good, Watson.
Stapleton or Baskerville, if you like, was a considerable scientist. He developed a luminous paint. Here it is.
He developed a luminous paint entirely free of any odor. Quite brilliant.
Brilliant! Brilliant!
Oh, you can use that in the story if you like.
I'll think about it. That's it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh! Now, let's turn our minds to more pleasant channels. I have a box at Covent Garden. What would you say to a night at the opera?
It's not Wagner again, is it?
No! Les Zouganos. Meyerbeer.
I know that.
It's full of improbable adventure and high romance. Exactly your cup of tea, Watson. Can it be ready in half an hour?
Certainly.
Excellent. And we can stop off at Marcini's for a little dinner on the way.
Holmes,
my dear fellow,
promise me you won't conduct this time.
What, sir?
Well, damn it, it's embarrassing.
No conducting.
Thank you.
That was part two of The Hound of the Baskervilles by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, dramatized in two parts by Bert Coles. With Roger Rees as Sherlock Holmes, Crawford Logan as Dr. John Watson, and Matt Zimmerman as Sir Henry Baskerville. Dr. Mortimer was played by Peter Craze, Stapleton by Jonathan Taffler, Franklin by Norman Bird, Beryl by Caroline Gruber, Barrymore by Richard Tate, Eliza by Barbara Atkinson, Laura Lyons by Moya Leslie, and the Postmaster by John Baddeley. The violinist was Catherine Adams, and The Hound of the Baskervilles was directed by David Johnston.
In 5 minutes after the news, Cliff Morgan raises the curtain on a new series of My Heroes, conversations in which he invites guests to talk about their admiration for those people who have greatly influenced them. My Heroes at 4:05. And at 4:30, Paul Vaughan in Kaleidoscope talks to Julian Lloyd Webber about his brainchild.